presenting a new exciting radio program featuring the thrilling adventures of an amazing and incredible personality.
Outrageous! Landed together from remote galaxies.
You're listening to episode 155 of the Let's Go Comic Show, where we talk about comics, comic movies, comic TV shows, everything in the world of comics, and then we rate those. Part of the Let's Go Podcast Network, pop culture without the pop. My name is Justin.
And I'm Matt.
And we are not alone, friends. We have a rad friend.
We got rad friends. Rad friends.
Back at the show.
Back again.
Back again, dude. Like a Backstreet Boy.
No. Here we go.
One more time. Everybody's feeling fine?
Yeah. No.
I always suck, man. I never know how to come in on this show. I know.
And we bombed this one, dude. I feel like we were three creative individuals. We could have done something a lot better.
Back. I don't know. Yeah. I feel embarrassed, low-key. The last time we recorded, too, I was like, dang it, my intro sucked. And it was my fault. It wasn't your guys' fault.
Mike's done spoken word, man. He's written stuff.
But I don't know how to intro a podcast, can't walk man. In. I don't know, man.
Hey, Mike Terrell's with us, guys. How about that?
Man, I'm here, man. I'm here.
Yo.
Here with the squad. Man, I need it. We need it right now, man. I need the Let's Go Comic Show podcast right now. Everybody needs it right now.
Hey.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah, I won't disagree. I won't disagree with that. So, Matt, what's our rating scale, man? Let's put some ratings. Throw some ratings. Oh, yeah, down.
We rate stuff, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
That's the Let's Go rating system, which the best rating we give is a gotta go. Below that is a let's go. Below that is a go. Mm. And below that is a don't go.
That's right. And then when it's really bad,
we got the trash juice.
We got that trash
juice. Subatomic levels. Like, yeah. So bad.
Cindy was telling us today, she's like, you need to make a shirt that says trash juice brought to you by 2020. I was like, okay. I'll throw that out there. I don't know if anyone wants that, but
it's not wrong.
It's definitely not wrong. So
have you guys hit any trash juice lately? Have you rated anything as a trash juice?
Chris did.
I haven't personally.
Chris went trash juice a couple weeks ago on the Batman. I think it was Batman 97.
Ooh.
Yeah, and we looked. Actually, you didn't do a trash juice. You just did a don't go on Ant-Man. I looked. I was like, no trash juice, dude.
What
did
about
you on Contagion?
Yeah, what about Contagion? Yeah,
I thought that was a don't go as well.
Oh, man, I softened the blow.
Yeah, we can, go back. We can re-edit.
I don't know.
An addendum to the review.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if I've experienced, like that's a harsh thing to say. You got to respect a trash juice. It's a harsh thing to say, though.
Yeah, I think when it's just got to be like, what the heck was that, dude? I would have said, I feel like, wasn't Man-Thing trash juice, Matt?
It might have been.
Yeah, that was a trash book, dude.
Dude, Carl Stein, I had higher standards for him than he had for himself, apparently.
Yeah, that was not a good book. But, all right.
maybe they'll add Man-Thing into Fortnite.
Oh, they should, man.
Sell like hotcakes.
Put him in Slurpee Swamp, dude. He can be hanging out there. That's the one character I wouldn't buy. Idea. I was like, all right, yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Pass.
I wouldn't buy it. I'd be like, that's cool, man. Like, you can pick. That's a peg warmer, bro. No one wants that. No one wants that.
You've been playing this most recent season of Fortnite, right?
Yeah, dude. Me and my kids, dude. Like, we're just in it, dude. We're having fun. They yell and scream, Dad. Dad, my kid's finding info out before me. Like, his buddy's like telling him, he's got his source.
Oh, same thing, dude.
He's got a source on the street. He's all, Dad, you can get Rocket Raccoon now. I'm like, what? Like, you buy him? He's like, no, he's like your pet. And he floats around. I was like, oh. So we're like looking for Rocket Raccoon. I'm like, okay, I gotta find this.
Oh, right. Yeah, you gotta unlock that.
Yeah, so we got that. So it's fun, man. It's when my kids get excited and I can get excited with them. It just makes it a fun time.
Because this most recent season is a lot of fun. Like, and not just because it's comic book nerdiness, like that definitely is part of it. But I think they're being very creative with how they're doing stuff with characters. Like the fact that you can go to a spot on the map, and if you defeat Doctor Doom, you get like his power gauntlets to use.
That was awesome. Oh, cool. Bro, you want to hear what happened? I got to tell you. Sorry, Mike, you're like, what the heck? So,
no, I'm in it, man. I wish I was in it.
So I'm going over there, like where Doctor Doom lives, right? And my son's all, we got to beat him one more time, Dad. That's it. Cause you have to beat him like three times, right? And so I go over there and we see him. We see, cause he hits a certain blast, like the little lair was all on fire, right? And I was getting a little nervous. I'm like, oh, shoot, Dr. Doom. Plus, everyone's in there trying to fight Dr. Doom, right? You know, everyone's trying to do the same mission as you. So I jump and I float in there because I'm in the Silver Surfer mode because I got that.
Oh, unlocked. So cool.
So I float in there on my surfboard as Silver Surfer. So it felt really, I felt like this was a comic. And so I land.
It was very majestic, I'm sure.
I got all fumbled and I didn't use my guns because I loaded up before I went in there, right? And so I didn't use my guns, and I just used my little metal like pickaxe on accident. Hit him one time and he went down. So I think the dude he just took out almost got him. Like he just wasted somebody. So I just lucked out that he just had a little bit less. Nice. Which that was my question. I was like, oh, so is it like whoever? It's just whoever is going up against him. Like power level, it's not a new power level for me. His power level is whatever it is for the game at that point.
Yeah, and I think they're going to add like some of the other characters as bosses too, like that you can get their like power from. So just be able, I mean, Mike, like the thing you start off with at the beginning of the season, like when you get this battle pass thing that you buy with your V-Bucks, you get the Thor skin that's from like the current Donny Cates run.
Wow.
Like it's that design.
Yeah.
Donny Cates wrote a tie-in comic that like they had pages in game that you can read to stay like basically what's happening now in this game is taking place sometime between panels in like issue 2 of the current Thor run.
Wasn't like, the Fortnite amazing. Characters in the book? There was a book that the Fortnite characters are in and they're like, oh really? I guess they're canon. There was like a thing. So I don't know.
Dude, it's legit. Possible. It's been cool to see Donny Cates talk about it on Twitter too, because people are hitting him up like both with encouragement and hate. And he's like, guys, can we just have fun? Like, it's just a fun, silly thing. And it's a win for everyone because he's having all these people say, like, hey, my kids wanted to go to the comic book shop.
Yeah.
And check this out. I'm like, dude, that's so great. Like, that's a win for everything. So you have this design of Thor. You can unlock Mjolnir as like your pickaxe to like break stuff down. And then you unlock the ability to use Mjolnir as like your glider as you're gliding in. So usually you have like a glider that you're holding on to as a character. But when you have the hammer and you're able to use it, and only Thor can use it. That's the only skin that that.
Captain America can use it too.
Captain America Captain America can use it to break stuff down, but he can't fly in with it.
Okay.
So, but he flies in on it and you're literally floating through this map, dude, like holding on to Mjolnir. And it's just so cool. Like I just like laugh every time because I think it's so cool. And they'll have similar things for Storm, for Doctor Doom, for Iron Man, for Groot. And I'm like, the way that everything is so thought through and connected on is just so fun.
I'm excited for Wolverine.
Like, dude, talk about like the marketing flex of like the year, maybe the decade, man, of how smart that is for like how Fortnite even I was reading an article how they were like releasing certain characters, like Marvel specifically releasing certain characters. I think it might have been the X-Men skins, but they were like releasing characters almost to like prime people up for like future movies. I was like, dude, this is brilliant. Like it's genius.
Yeah. They dropped a weird X-Force pack. Like, remember, it was Cable and like Psylocke and Domino. It was like,
I totally got that one too. It was so cool.
Oh, I got it.
Cable looks awesome.
Yeah, Cable was cool. I was like, all right. It was just, but it is kind of weird.
That's the season where Deadpool was like the hidden character you could unlock.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah. It's fun, man. It's like what we talked about before. It's digital action figures. You just kind of collect them and like, oh, it's fun.
It's true, man. You know, it's
I am so bummed that I can't use Thor's hammer with Batman. That's the only thing. I was like, come on. Come on, because you know that's like one of the first things I tried. You can use a
sweet assault rifle with Batman. That seems like in character.
Yeah, they need to change that, dude. They just need to, whatever he picks up, just
he can only use pistols.
Just needs to be batarangs or something, dude. It's just like, but yeah, that game's fun, dude. It's fun to play with your kids, and if you're hating on it,
yeah,
you're stupid.
I love the Deadpool commercial when he was the secret character where he runs out of toilet paper. I was like, this dude, this is so good. Like in the middle of pandemic, so good, toilet paper shortage and like Deadpool. I was like, come on, man. I love it.
Yeah.
It was so fun, man. And they handled it so well, and they keep like this lighthearted, really fun approach to all of it.
Yeah.
They're using, so it's fun for like some of the trailers going into this season when Thor is like narrating. You get the voice actor for him is the same guy that did the voice acting for the new Avengers video game that's launching this weekend.
Okay.
And he's done a couple other things. And I was like, dang, dude, that's cool to have like legit like, voice actor doing it.
I wonder if that's like a tie-in at all. I mean, I know you were saying if you do the beta for it, you get Hulk hands. Cause I've seen people with Hulk hands.
You had certain like challenges in the beta they were running last week for the Avengers game that if you finish those challenges in that game, then it unlocked like some perks in Fortnite. I did not get that far, but it looks fun, man. Speaking of that video game, did you see they just released a trailer for Kate Bishop as a character in that one too?
Yeah. I think we were just talking about that, like pregame, pre-show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I can't remember anything.
That's all right. No, that's cool. Dude, so many. Dude, I don't know. I don't think I'll be playing any other video games until like Suicide Squad comes out. That game.
2022.
I'm just gonna play Fortnite.
Hey, here we go.
I don't know. It's easy for me. I'm like, all right, I'll just play Fortnite. It doesn't get boring to me. My kids play. So all right, man. That was an intro right there, dude. That was a little bit of a little bit of video games. So we wanted to start the show though, and we wanted to talk about the passing of Chadwick Boseman. Really sad, man. Really, like, I don't know. There's just no real good way to jump into it. And it hit like a gut punch, man, I think to everybody. It's because we didn't know. You know, there was no, warning. No, we heard he was sick. It was pretty, it just kind of, hey, he's passed away. And you're like, what? You know, at first I didn't know what it was. I was like, oh my gosh, what the heck happened? You know, like,
yeah.
It was hard. It was a hard one. And I don't know, just want to kind of open it up to any like raw thoughts you guys had. Cause I think every time you think about it, just before we even recorded, Matt brought it up and I was like, dang, dude, like it's still in the mode of like shock and like, dude, I can't believe this happened to, you know, a lot of emotions. So what do y'all think? Mike.
Man. Well, 2020, I don't know if this is news to anyone. 2020 has sucked.
Yeah.
Pretty bad, pretty consistently. Not my favorite year. And I feel like I was telling my wife the other day, 2020 feels like mentally and emotionally taxing. You know, like, thank God our family has been okay. You know, and I say that with like sensitivity, cause I know, you know, it's been a journey for a lot of people, but in my own situation, you know, thank God we've been okay. Been able to, you know, keep working, whatever, but it's been mentally and emotionally taxing just because of all the things going on, you know what I'm saying? Like, and even dude, the start of the year, I'm a Lakers fan, you know what I'm saying? Like, and so that was brutal. Like losing Kobe like that was ridiculous. So that was the start of the year. You know, a whole bunch of other things happened. I would even say like, just like all the things I felt when George Floyd was murdered, that was brutal. Right. So like I feel like in 2020, I've already like, there's been multiple moments where I'm like, actually, this is 100% fact. There's been multiple moments where I was like, yo, I can't. That has to be like the limit of like suck for this year. Like, that's what I'm thinking to myself. And I think Chadwick Boseman's passing is the saddest I've actually been in 2020. Yeah. It actually, like when I got that, I had a notification from you guys actually, but my wife got it at the same time. We were on vacation. And she got it as like a news notification, but dude, I was devastated, man. I was devastated because like Chadwick Boseman's like one of those I posted about it like a day later. I think he's like the truest form of an artist. Like when you watch like a Chadwick Boseman film, you realize Chadwick Boseman's he was embodying something. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You also realize mm-hmm. that there was a bigger thing he was doing with all of his work. Like it wasn't, I would argue with Chadwick Boseman. I don't think he did anything for like awards or anything like that. I think you look at his background too, studying in London, like he was an actor, you know what I'm saying? I think specifically what he did with Black Panther, to be a comic fan and to see what he did with Black Panther was like, just one of the coolest experiences, man. I think one of the things that stands out for me was, I think it was like Saudi Arabia when Black Panther was in theaters. They're like, hey, you know what? We've actually closed down, you know, outside media for decades because we don't trust anyone. But, you know, this is an all black cast and I think we're going to open up theaters, you know, like countries wow. that would like not watch movies. They're like, we're going to play this movie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hmm. So, man, this is really hard. I still get sad. It's like exactly what you said, Justin. Someone brings it up, I get really, really sad. And I think just because of the quality of an artist he was and what he did with that character, I think was timeless. And there's so much I could say about it, man. So much I could say about it. But I think maybe to show how much I think he meant in my mind in terms of like a creator and artist, that's the saddest I've been. Thus yeah. far in 2020, I didn't think I could get much sadder. So, yeah,
totally, man. That's yeah, it's been tough. I found like every time like a new like tribute or interview or clip of him like comes out over the last few days, like every time I just feel like those waves of emotion all over again, you know, where you feel like you're kind of done kind of grieving through it. And I think we've talked about it in different ways about how it's odd to grieve for someone that you don't really know but has impacted you so deeply.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about it when we talked about the film when it came out. Gosh, it just feels like so long ago.
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago. To think like my second born son, like that's like no contest, like been his favorite superhero from day one. And to think like, I mean, we're a white family, like in Southern California. Like there's not, it's not because he's like, hey, that's me or any of these other things that are absolutely beautiful and valid that other people get from the character. It's just that like, it's the normality of it that still yeah. always strikes me. Like for us, like we've been a part of this culture long enough where we can see like, hey, we can recognize that this is special. It's monumental because of the first that it is, because of the, all of the special things it does that we haven't seen before. And to know like for him that that's the baseline.
Yeah.
And that not only is that the gift that Chadwick Boseman helped give to us, but that he did that while secretly fighting something so horrendous. Like I just keep feeling this overwhelming sense of gratitude and just like, man, like that, I can honestly look back at a movie like Black Panther to just pinpoint one point of his career, not to say that that's the totality of it, but to pinpoint that one thing and be like, I'm just grateful and I'm blessed by that. And what a gift. He fought through something so horrendous to give us. Cause for me, it's layers because like that, the type of cancer he was fighting, that's the type of cancer that killed my grandpa over like the course of a few months.
Wow.
About 15 years ago. And so for me, like I've seen like firsthand, sorry, I'm like totally getting emotional about this. I've seen firsthand what that can do to a person.
Mm. Yeah.
And so, you know, like not only did he like endure that, but I get to benefit from the legacy he left yeah. while fighting that.
Yeah.
I think that it transcends the movie. It transcends the character and it tells me what kind of a man and human being he was.
Yeah.
And I think you see that over and over again. Like I sent the guys like a link in our text thread a couple of days ago, like when Ryan Coogler yeah. like honored him, and man, it was rough to read, but it was so beautiful. Like,
yeah.
and to think like all of the stuff, it wasn't Chadwick just showing up and saying like, okay, like what do you want me to do? I'll do this character. It's no, like okay, like the guy playing my dad, he speaks South African. Okay, cool. We're going to use this dialect. That's going to be this thing. That's going to be the dialect of Wakanda, and I'm going to learn it on set. And I'm going to fight for the fact that T'Challa needs to have an African accent to show that they have not been colonized. Yeah. Like that it's his attention to detail. And that I feel like the word that keeps coming back to me when I think of him, and as I read more and more about who he was behind all of the stuff we got to see,
yeah,
is just dignity.
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh man.
Just that he chose parts. He fought for aspects of the parts that he played.
Yeah.
To imbue dignity.
Yeah.
To a people that are often denied it.
Yes.
Like that's just the real hard truth.
Yeah.
And I think like seeing the incredible amount of character that he showed along this process, for me, only like imbues like seeing T'Challa on screen with that much more like strength and beauty and power. I actually haven't even been able to bring myself to watch the movie again yet, even though I feel like part of me wants to,
yeah,
as like a way of remembering and mourning, just because it's so like damn hard.
Yeah.
to think of it and to think like part of it's because it was so sudden, part of it's because of a sickness that has touched my family's life in a way, and part of it because of like there's something about, and it's the last thing I'll say, there's something about capturing someone's imagination that affects them and changes them more than any rule or law or any work like that will do. And I'm like, that is one of the most incredible legacies someone like Chadwick Boseman can leave us.
Yeah.
And I think he did it in every aspect. And so to see that is just beautiful. And I think it's a simultaneous feeling of gratitude and just immense grief that's someone that's not here anymore. Like, and I think I said it was the last thing, but the real last thing is it's made me remember in the part of comic book culture that we're in, so many times someone like him can become a commodity to us and a product to us, where we could think like, no one's going to think it immediately because it would be like really gross to think it, but it'd be like, oh man, we're supposed to get a second Black Panther movie. Like, oh man, like I wanted to get this out of him.
Yeah.
And I think like, it makes me want to proactively try to snuff that out in other areas.
Yeah.
Like to think like, how do we treat these as human beings that are like fighting literally things we have no idea about?
Yeah.
And how do we treat them as humans? Like we've talked about this in recent weeks about like Ray Fisher and Jeff Johns and that beef between them, like all these different things. Like, I'm like, man, like I feel even more settled and stronger than ever that like we need to humanize the people that are giving these great gifts of these characters to us and to treat them as such.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that's a good word. Yeah, man. I think you kind of touched on it a little bit, Matt. Just, I think the harder part to all of this is the kids. Yeah, on social media, you've seen a lot of the kids like having little funerals with their action figures of Black Panther.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, those are hard, man. Those are really hard. I didn't want to tell my kids right away, and then I blew it, and they found out, just, you know, their friends, and then they're on like, you know, Disney
Plus. My kids found out from their friends and Fortnite, because of the statues in Fortnite now, and they're like, yeah, that's that because he died 3 days ago. I was like, dang it.
Yeah. I know, my wife saw you got to be up on that stuff, and I'm like, I just was trying, but I was trying to figure out like, what do I say? What do I process? And because like, the weird spot is we're doing the Marvel rewatch and Black Panther's up, bro. And now I'm
right now. The time.
Yeah. Right now. Yeah. Wow. Like we just got, it was like Ragnarok, you know, and now it's, and it was just such a weird, timing. Like I hate when things have significance, because he passed away on like Jack Kirby's birthday, and it was also a Jackie Robinson day. And those things are just weird. It's just a weird coincidence.
Yeah, and those coincidences freak me out a little bit.
Yeah,
that actually did. The Jackie Robinson thing.
Yeah,
that was a trip.
I think it gives, because people like these, like it gives power to it. I don't know if that's bad or good. It just makes it just like,
totally.
They're like, oh, it was Jack Kirby's birthday too. It means something. It's like, I don't know what it means. It just, it hurts. And it's sad. Yeah. But like going back to my kids, the kids are just like, oh. You know, like my son, again, you know, not a black kid. Like, you know, my wife's Hispanic. My son's, you know, white. Like, but he connected to Black Panther. He really loved the character. He had these like Marvel and Vans did like a combo thing a few years back, and we got him the Black Panther Vans. Like that.
I loved those. I wanted those so bad, dude.
Yeah, the skate highs, and they had like the sweet like Panther like either like little claws,
like the little claws. Oh,
yeah, and like he grew out of them, and he didn't want to pass them down to his brother. He wanted to hold on to them for like later on for like his kids. He's all, "Dad, these are like my favorite shoes."
Oh man, you know?
And like it's just one of those things where it's like, that's going to, like, I think of that when I was like, I don't want to tell him, it's going to break his heart. I have to figure out how to tell him. And he found out without me being able to relay it. And I was like, oh dude, it was just like, how do you break that your heroes, you know, are real people to your kids? You know, he knows he's an actor, but like, you know, they just seem in a different way, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's going to be hard, and, you know, finishing up our little rewatch, you know, that's the selfish part. Like it's going to give you those feelings, but hopefully the feelings in turn give us like more gratitude. Kind of like what you're saying. He gave us a gift, and it was, you know, he brought a character to life that, you know, some people never in their world knew about it. Like people who don't read comics, they don't know about Black Panther, you know? And then there's some people that saw it and were like, that's me. I see myself on the screen, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's other people that I think they're like, oh, that's a cool character. You know, like, dang, dude, like I'm rooting for Black Panther in these films. Like when he shows up at the end of Endgame, like leading like the nation of Wakanda, that's a get out of your seat moment. Epic. Right.
Wait, you know, dude, that moment means so much now. Like that, you know, it already did. It meant the world in Endgame that it was Black Panther to be like the first one who walks through. But now, my goodness, dude,
it just hits different, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's definitely it's a huge loss, but I think, you know, celebrate the gifts. So I want to read a quote from him, which I thought was pretty good, man. It was pretty great, and I think it's something that, you know, and whatever you're doing, you know, do it to your extent. But he said, "When I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent left, and could say I used everything that you gave me."
Wow,
it's like, man. That's a quote.
Dude, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, that just resonated, man. Like,
yeah, dude, wow. Like, I'm convicted. Like, I'm like, that's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just think that's a good word to kind of end it on. Like,
yeah.
In what he did, everything he did, you can tell he committed. Like, dude, when you see him dance like James Brown, I was like, shoot. Like, he did it, you know?
Wow.
He put his body through to do, you know, the role of Black Panther, like knowingly now that what he was going through, like
single appearance is Black Panther.
Yeah.
He was going through it the entire time.
While he was going through it. 4 years.
That is, dude, that's insane.
Yeah.
That is, oh my gosh.
Plus he was visiting kids too that were sick. And so he was through and through like heroic. And so anyways.
Yeah. My goodness. Yep.
Yeah, so Chadwick Boseman, man, he was a guy, man. And so, yeah. I don't know. There's no good transitions, guys. Just if you just can, I don't know, man. I don't know what the transition is, but I just would say, like, you know, like enjoy these films, but like also, like Matt was saying, like these real people too, and think about like as we do enjoy art that people give us, you know, realize sometimes there's real pain behind it. Because there's definitely like a real person there. And even like as you're about to, you know, as you go on to, you know, social media and say stuff, man, those people sometimes read stuff too, you know, and you never know what's going on.
Yeah.
So it's hard. And it doesn't mean you can't have an opinion. It just means think about how you unload your opinions.
Dude, I have one thought. I thought about this with Chadwick in being grateful for him and with what you were saying is that, you can clearly see with the type of roles that he played and the intentionality behind his roles that he recognized that his talent was to be stewarded for the benefit of others. Like it wasn't just about him, you know what I'm saying? So it's exactly what you're talking about, man. The gift he left us is just very poignant when I think about him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Chadwick Boseman, he was the king.
The king.
So, all right, guys. So we're going to transition. It's a hard one. I wish we had like some type of like commercial to cut to or something. That would be, that would make it easier to.
We'll
to
insert something here.
Yeah, we'll insert something here. But, all right. So, for a long while, I would say it started in 2017, Comic-Con 2017. Jeff Johns dropped some info that he was working on a book called Three Jokers. I'm like, what? So there was this rumor that, not rumor, it was in this, it was in the Justice League book. You know, Batman found out some information. He was sitting on, there was a whole Dark
Mobius,
Side War.
The Mobius chair.
So there's this Mobius chair, Mike. It's from the New Gods. And when you're there, you get you have all access to all the information.
Okay.
And so he finds out that, oh, there's been three Jokers. And we don't even find out until he tells a Green Lantern a few issues later. Like, what the heck did he learn? He learned a secret. He learned something crazy, and people were, you know, speculating for a few months. So then we find out there's been three Jokers. So then fast forward to like Rebirth. Rebirth happens, and they're like, oh yeah, we're gonna jump into this story. That's 2016. Three Jokers is gonna happen. It's gonna be a thing. So Jeff Johns finally announces it 2017 at Comic-Con. He's like, yeah. And that's like July, June. He's all, it's gonna start coming out in December. All right. Bro, it doesn't come out, doesn't come out, doesn't come out, doesn't come out.
3 years.
Yeah, Jason Fabok, Fabok, he's the illustrator, and he's like, I don't know when it's coming out, but I'm drawing it. That's all I know. I'm drawing it. It's a great story. You know, Jeff Johns is writing movies and producing TV shows and all this other stuff, writing comics, Doomsday Clock, you know, Shazam, all this other stuff. Mm. Jason Fabok still drawing. Sometimes you get a picture like, oh, here's what my Batman suit looks like. There's a little influence from Michael Keaton going on in there, like the Michael Keaton belt.
That poor guy, he's trying.
Yeah.
He's trying like, to keep the hope alive.
Yeah, yeah. And we're like, is this thing ever coming out? And then you finally get like a release date. I think it was supposed to come out in like April of 2020. No. Yeah, it's all three Jokers.
April. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. But that was right. You know, that's when you get the solicits in like January, February. And then everything fell apart in March with COVID.
Dude, and then, Three Jokers is to comics what New Mutants is to movies as far as release schedule. It's just that's like, right, it's coming, I promise.
Three Mutants slash the Joker. Yeah, so finally, you know, after DC gets its like publishing, I mean, it's shipping and all that stuff figured out, it comes out August 2020, 2 weeks ago.
Boom.
And I have to tell you this. You know, I think it works out great actually, because it's the 80th anniversary of the Joker. Like, that's what this year is. So, okay, it didn't have to come out in 2017. You know, 78 years as a Joker doesn't sound as good as 80. But I think it worked out. I think this was a good time for it to come out. Bad time for anybody writing a story called The Joker War. That doesn't make much sense. To have The Joker War going when you got three Jokers coming, because I'll tell you, one story is really good. Yeah, one story is not.
So, shots fired.
So here's what's cool. I'm glad you're on this show, Mike, because you read Three Jokers, right?
I did, and I also read the first issue of Joker Wars.
Oh, dang.
But I think low-key your perspective, I was like, yeah, maybe this is boo-boo. Like, I don't know that I was necessarily drawn in, but I will tell you, you were right. Three Jokers, that's the Batman. That is a much better Batman. You were right in comparison. Yeah.
Telling you. So... I just want to kind of get into this book. We'll like chat a little bit about it. I mean, that was the history of it, kind of waiting for it this whole time.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
Yeah, and now it's out, and we've read it, kind of digested it. I have a different feeling because I have these other stories in my brain that have connected me to this. Whereas, Mike, you haven't read Killing Joke, and you haven't read Death in the Family.
I haven't.
So like, you don't have those tethers.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, so I'm like really curious about your thoughts on it, man. You know? So
dang. Yeah, yeah. I have some homework to do too. Cause my homie Miguel put me on well, I was talking to him about it, and I told him I really enjoyed the like all the stuff with Red Hood in this one.
Oh.
And he's like, oh, you gotta no, you know what I really liked was the sequence between the Joker when he was tied up talking to Red Hood. Mm-hmm. Not to give it, you know, not to go too deep, but when he was saying,
I think we can go spoilery here. It's been out. Yeah.
Well, spoiler alert, everybody.
Spoiler alerts, guys.
There's just this, like, that exceptional scene with the Joker and the Red Hood, and he's bringing up time in his past where, like, Red, he was begging for his life. And Joker, he's like, do you remember what you said to me? He's like, I'll always cherish those words. And I just was like, oh, I love this like Joker voice. So I have to read up on Red Hood. I didn't know the Killing Joke was a part of this. So that's awesome. I'm excited.
That's where Batgirl's story comes. Batgirl's story was the Killing Joke.
Oh, dude, I'm excited. Well, you know what, Mike? This was a phenomenal experience. This was phenomenal. I had no context. When it dropped in the review box, and so I was like, oh cool, yeah, I know this has been coming out, I heard it, you guys talk about it on the podcast, and like I'm kind of new to the Batman universe, you know what I'm saying, I'm a Marvel head, but I said in a review this week, Marvel sucks this summer, and so DC has been a good safe haven for good stories, and I was like, oh cool, like Three Jokers, Justin's been talking about this, and dude, I think two pages in, like I had a thought bubble. I remember I was like, this is a dope story. Like immediately I was like, this is awesome. Like the intro with Batman and all of his scars and kind of like flashbacks to these like fights he had. I was like, yo, I'm here. Like I'm bought in. Dude, I'm locked in. This was a gotta go. I'm so excited. I just felt like a fresh story I stumbled onto. Again, I don't have the context. So for me, it felt like, yo, I love this. Like, what's going on? What the heck is with these three Jokers? And what, like, what's this backstory with Red Hood? And what's all this tension with Batgirl? It was awesome, man. I was so excited. I had a great time with this. I'm excited for this series, man.
Yeah. Matt, what are your initial thoughts, man?
I would just like to say, I think that is a great feat anytime someone who's like fairly uninitiated as far as like the references that are being made, can grasp onto something and really engage and like a story.
Yeah.
I'm like, that is a sign of a good writer. It just is. Like if you can pull someone in and they don't have to do their homework first, you've done a good job.
Yeah.
So I would say that's impressive. And I could totally see how that would be the case. I also really enjoyed the issue. I think there's a lot of good stuff in there. I think there's so many fun art choices, from color choices to style, to like, again, the voice, like Mike was saying, like when you have the voice of the Joker, you have the voice of, I mean, multiple different Jokers. You have the voice of Red Hood. Like, it all feels like it kind of sits right. And there's nothing out of place where it feels like, I don't know, that doesn't really feel like, no. It's like all of it feels like right on par with where it should be. Gosh, man, it's just really enjoyable, really convincing. I think there's something very cinematic about it. Like, this feels like the opening to like a movie to me.
I agree.
I think the designs are great. Like I said, there's all the little nods. Like, I love that, like, the Joker that has the trucker hat, it's a Large Marge Trucking. Like, even little things like that.
I
think are awesome. There is something interesting, and maybe, Justin, this is a little more, like, I guess, like, what do they call it? They call it a... the terminology is like inside baseball. Like, it's kind of like a little more like, like if you know, you know.
Okay.
I don't know a lot of sports terminology, guys. I apologize. There's something very Gary Frank about Jason Fabok's art in this issue.
Oh.
Like, it reminded me of Doomsday Clock a lot. In the layout, but also in a lot of the choices. There's a lot of stuff that reminds me of that. And I want to say that as like a very good thing, like a compliment. Mm-hmm. But in general, there's something about it, and maybe it's just me projecting it onto it, which could totally be the case. I don't know if you feel this way, Justin, but it feels like a post Doomsday Clock, Geoff Johns, like it feels like it lives in that same world. And I'm not mad about that at all. I love the structure of the story, that we have three Jokers and three like main Joker big story interactions that we're launching off of. Like, each of these characters has a life-changing interaction with the Joker. And that's kind of what we're getting, the setup with the scars at the beginning. I mean, obviously Batman's had a lot of different interactions. Sorry. That's just a bunch of random stuff. But overall, it's just an incredibly well-plotted, well executed book that just feels like it draws me through. All the panels make sense the way it flows together. I think it's really dynamic. It's really kinetic. Like, it feels like it moves and things overlap. Like, we're going into voiceovers, we're going into flashbacks, we're going into all that stuff. And it all feels like it just really belongs. Like, I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yeah. I agree with all of the words you said. I want to jump straight.
All right, let's call the show.
Yeah, there you go.
I couldn't tell by your face, bro. I was like, oh, did you like, not like
I
it,
just,
dude?
No, I loved it. I mean, obviously y'all didn't read my review on Let's Go.
I did.
Oh, I was going to say, my favorite thing about this whole thing is Mike actually going, oh, shoot, there's a shark with a smile. He straight up, before Matt read it,
yeah, he totally spoiled it for me. That was
I was going to confess that on this show if you didn't bring it up. I was going to apologize publicly.
Mike has his excitement is just like, knows no spoiler wall, dude. Just like, oh, shoot.
Dude, how dope is that, dude?
Yeah,
that was one of the coolest things.
Well, these are all throwbacks. So, like, you know, there's a whole Laughing Fish story with the Joker back in the 70s. And so there's a lot of throwbacks.
For real?
Yeah, yeah. So there's
amazing.
Like, so the whole premise here, what I'm picking up is they're touching on the three personalities of the Joker over, like, his career in comics, right? So, and they map it out in the book, the criminal, the comedian, and the clown. Yeah. And so there's, if you go in the 50s, you're going to get more of the clown. You go in the 80s, you get more of the criminal. You go in the 70s, you get more of the, what was it?
I feel like the 80s was the comedian, because that's when you think like.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, 80s was the comedian, 50s was the clown. So, you're getting all the different like story elements, and what they're doing is going, oh, these are three separate things. Or are they? We don't even know yet. So. But yeah, I was just going to jump onto the idea of it being the successor to Doomsday Clock, only because in Doomsday Clock, Batman's got the bat symbol, like the yellow bat symbol. I don't know where the story falls. I don't. Like, it doesn't matter, but it has to fall somewhere, because it has to be in continuity, because these things have happened. Like, Barbara Gordon was paralyzed by the Joker, and Jason Todd was killed by the Joker, right? So there's their two personal stories. And, you know, they reference it, like there's a lot of throwback to the comic book stories, like in the panels, even the panel structure, a little bit of Watchmen, a little bit of Killing Joke. So you're saying Gary Frank, and I said that in my review. I feel like Jason Fabok is like the spiritual successor to Gary Frank, but also to Jim Lee, but also to Brian Bolland. So,
I hadn't even thought about that. He does seem like kind of like a cross section of all those things, which is like incredible.
Yeah, he's going out of his way to make you feel that the Brian Bolland Joker is here in this book. Like, all his Killing Joke stuff is really reminiscent, and he's not aping it. I think he's honoring it. There's that shot where the Joker has, you know, he's wearing the Hawaiian shirt. He's got the gun, right?
He's
where,
got like, the gun, and you just see the pupil of his eye.
Yeah, that's like Killing Joke, dude. Yeah. Yeah. And so even his covers, like, my favorite Joker artist is Brian Bolland. Like, I'm like, when I think of the Joker, how I would love for him to look like this in a movie or something like that, right?
Oh, man, that'd be so great.
That's the look. And like, anytime I try to like draw a picture of the Joker, I have the Brian Bolland like image in my head. Like, you know, narrow, funny shaped head, pointy chin, like, you know, kind of high hair or whatever. So I like what Brian Bolland did. Like, his Joker is just, that's what I think of when I think of the Joker. So so I think he did a really good job, you know, and it's obviously still his style, but you can see his influences there. But when telling a story like this, I think you really do have to you have to pay homage to that story for whatever reason. I think if you're bringing Barbara Gordon into it and you're bringing the Killing Joke, you have to land somewhere, and I think landing where he did works. And so I really like the visual style he's picking. Well, he's not like he's picking it, it's his style, but there's definitely some intentional like choices. Like, I love the covers, how they pay, again, they're like honoring like specific Joker moments. You know, you have the Red Hood, you have the Laughing Fish, you know, like those covers are brilliant. Like, I ain't gonna buy them all, but I want to, because I'm like, oh, dude, they're so great. I'm gonna look at them. So hopefully the collected edition has it all and I don't gotta worry about that stuff. But dude, this felt like I was reading a classic Batman story too. Like, you know, it just felt like I know this world. Like, I know these characters and I'm immersed into the story. Like what you're saying, like Mike already felt like it was earned. You know, he came into it like, oh, he felt comfortable. It has all the things that make you feel comfortable with Batman. There's rain. You know, you got Gordon, you got some Batman friends.
You're, well, I think that shorthand with the scars for each of the characters was a brilliant move. Oh,
loved
that,
it.
That gives you all the backstory without like any text boxes, any dialogue, any of that stuff. And it's like, oh, okay, got it. That gives you context for it.
Yeah.
And I think it goes to show like Geoff Johns, like love or hate him, the guy gets like he can like distill DC characters down to like the essence of who they are, and he gets
it. yeah he 100% man. And I didn't like his Batman Earth One book, not much. I wasn't I wasn't a big fan of it, but he definitely was doing a different take in that thing. But I loved, you know, I think the way he wrote Batman in Justice League was great.
Yep.
You know, and so I've never really had a problem with his characterization of Batman. So that's why I like coming into this, there was a little bit of trepidation. Am I going to get that superhero Batman that he wrote in Justice League, or am I going to get that kind of inexperienced weird Batman from the Earth One kind of books he did? And so I feel like he's given us classic in his prime Batman hunting the Joker, you know, but there's like some real personal issues going on. Cause once you bring in like, here's the thing, like Mike, just to kind of give you some like school. Batgirl and Jason Todd are like Batman's biggest like fails in his life. Those are his two, and because of the Joker. So he considers like, oh, Batgirl being paralyzed, that's his fault. You know, even though it's not, it's his fault. You know, Jason Todd being like, you know, Jason Todd got like crowbarred and then blowed up and dies. You know, he comes back obviously because he's in his book, but like, there's, you know, there's some creative writing, like, oh yeah,
there's
body,
a lot of different stuff that happened.
Yeah, his body was recovered by the League of Shadows and thrown into a Lazarus pit, and also Superboy from another dimension hit the time wall, and there's some weird stuff. But regardless, like, he's back. It's comics. But
well, and even like when you go to like what he's doing now and his persona as Red Hood, you can totally see how Batman is like disappointed and how that ended up too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. For sure. That's the thing that I love about I put this in the review, my favorite part of the whole book was that scene where Joker and Red Hood are going at it.
That's the,
because the Joker is just like, yeah, everything I wanted to happen, it happened. Like, and
oh dude, and he's like, you're my Robin. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Oh man. So that was just,
bro. Was, and then brutal. When he shot him, I was like, bruh. Like,
oh, yeah.
the panel where his like brain is like flying out. I was like, dude, this book is nuts.
Oh yeah. I didn't think that was gonna happen, you know?
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. And then, but he's just like what did he says to her, like, when was the last time you missed? Like, you know, like you wanted this to happen too.
Yeah,
because she
threw her batarang at him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was a great freaking, yeah, dude, that left me.
Man. When's the last time you missed? You know, they're like, oh shoot, you know. Dude. And she's mad. She's like, screw you, Jason. So
and it's almost kind of like a flippant, like kind of funny way to end the issue too, like that last page where he's like, man, hope that's the right one.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Oh well, yeah, like was it the right one that killed him, or is that even a Joker, you know? Like,
is it because it seems like you're implying, like, with the conversation that those three Jokers have paired with what they did to those guys at the chemical factory.
Yeah.
It's like, oh shoot, can Joker just make other Jokers like whenever he wants? Like, and he's trying to perfect the Joker? Like, because that's a fascinating concept to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. That's the whole crazy mystery. So,
yo, what was my guy's name? The little guy that the shark eats. What was that guy's name?
Oh, yeah. See, he's in Killing Joke.
Gotcha. Yeah, because they were referencing him like something. They said something like the Joker hasn't brought him out in a while or something like that. Something weird before he got eaten.
Yeah. Yeah. I I want to say he's in Killing Joke when
Gaggy.
Gaggy, that's what it is. Yeah, yeah.
When he's like torturing Gordon, I thought like that's the guy that's there. So,
Really? I had no clue.
I think so. I could be off. I just thought, oh yeah, he's the little guy that was at the park.
He seemed like earlier than that. Like he seems like more like a henchman kind of thing from.
He could be. I could 100% be wrong. He just looked familiar to the Killing Joke, like whatever the theme park he was in. But yeah, man, this book, I think it just really paid off on the twists. Mm. Like we're just talking about, like, oh dang, John's pulled that out of what was already there. That's what John's does well. Like he did it with the Green Lantern Rebirth. He did it with Flash Rebirth. Like taking the concepts we knew and giving it some other little wrinkles to it and going, oh shoot. And you're not mad because it doesn't disrupt what you knew, but it does. It almost makes it more impactful, more meaningful. You're like, oh shoot. So now when I go back and read Killing Joke, I'm going to be like, oh shoot. Or when I go back and read Death in the Family, I'm like, dang dude, he's working little Jason Todd, you know? So
he is.
Yeah. So, oh man, this book was everything that I wanted it to be. You know, it was a lot of hype. You know, there's some hyperbole, you know, like, oh, it's going to be the greatest thing ever. And you're like, oh, man, I hope I don't eat my words. And it really is, dude. It's really good. It's I can't wait for the next ones, dude. It's giving Matt Ritchie hiccups, dude.
You know? Yo, about that, everybody. It's funny talking to you guys because I was texting my buddy Miguel about this. I was like, I read Three Jokers because I think I texted him on Friday when the book came in.
Yeah.
And he's at a shop called Quest in Redlands. And he's like, bro, how did you already read that? I was like, oh, it's on my review team. And he was like, dude, I've been waiting 2 years for that book. And I didn't understand. It totally flew over my head. I was like, you've been waiting, really? Like 2 years for this thing? I just had no con. I just thought it was dope.
Just kind of like dropped into your lap.
Yeah, for me, it was a dope summer book. I listened to you guys on, like a few episodes ago. You're like, yeah, the Three Jokers, that's the summer read. I was like, oh, okay, I got to be ready for that one.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I'm ready. But I didn't know anything. It's really funny. I had no idea all this context. And it's a great story. Funny. So it makes that just makes it even more cool. Like the after effect of if you don't know the background of a story, but you jump in at like a new story arc. Yeah. It's kind of exciting to go back and like learn more. Like it's a fun experience that way sometimes.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. That's what I think. That's why I always think the like starting a comic book at number one's always bull crap. I'm like, if someone wants to get into it, they'll buy back issues. If they want to learn, that's the fun of it. Like, oh, I'm not going to jump on right now because it's at issue, you know, 252. Well, go read.
Yeah.
Go read 251. Find out.
That's what I think. Like you see, good storytelling, good writing is going to give you an on-ramp no matter when you're coming in.
Come on. Like
there's got to be something to grab onto. And that's how comic books always were. It's like they just kind of had these long like 100, 200, 300 issue runs, you know, back in the day of comic books. And it's like you just kind of grabbed an issue and you just kind of got there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what's fun, man. If it's good, I'll go back and get more. You're telling me there's more of this stuff, you know? Like, I would love to read some more of this. You know, I think that's what's fun about getting into a book and really falling in love with the character is knowing, oh, there's more of this. So, yeah, this whole book, man, you can scrub it with, like, you know, you can Easter egg it. Like, there's some panels in there. Like, there's that panel. It's like the Joker, and he's like this. He's, like, thinking.
Oh,
That's straight up from Batman number one. That's, like, homage to that issue where, like, so Joker's, great. He's, like, thinking. And so there's a lot of that. Like you said, the Large Marge stuff. There's all the Killing Joke stuff. There's just, you know, the Laughing Fish, everything. So I'm like wondering what's next. Like, what's the next issue going to give me?
There's even a couple of, I would say, the designs. Like, if you look at the faces of the guys that get turned, like, get jokerized and, like, red hooded.
Yeah.
I was like, some of those look like other Joker designs that we've seen over the years. Like, to see, like, you think of, like, Scott Snyder's like Joker design, like at one point, like I was like, oh, the dude that goes in the ambulance kind of looks like that. Like there's lots of different things where I feel like this thing is drenched in legacy.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah.
So good. Yeah, Mike, you gotta read Killing Joke. Even my wife read Killing Joke.
Oh dang.
Yeah. She was like, oh dang. I remember her being like, oh,
thrown down.
Yeah, that was, and it's funny because like Alan Moore wrote it, and he's just like, whatever, it's not a good story. Some people really hate the story of because of what it did to Batgirl. Like, it's like when you think about it, it's like, yeah, man, like kind of a, that's kind of a brutal end to Batgirl.
Yeah,
dang.
You know, and they did some like the character went through like a change after that. She became kind of like an information like dispatcher, and she became the Oracle, but she was paralyzed in the comics for like years. You know, in 2011, they gave her back. Yeah. You know, she's able like to use decades. Her legs again. Yeah. Yeah, dude. Like, from 88 to 2011, she couldn't walk.
Dang. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, Comic
Con.
She was
time, a boss, like an integral part.
Yeah, cool. Batman always be like, Oracle, give me the blueprints of Arkham Asylum, the sub-level. And she'd be like, on it, Batman. Clickety, clickety, clickety. And she was like, yeah, she information broker, dude, to everybody, you know. People just knew
When did The Killing Joke come out?
88.
Oh, I didn't know it was that.
88, that. Yeah, 87. Oh,
yeah, it's a classic.
Same year that freaking Robin died, so.
Oh, yeah, Death in the Family was that same year, right?
Yeah, I think so. It could have been 87, 88, but I'm pretty sure. I could be off, but it's that time, so.
Dang, I'm hyped. I've had that on my reading list for a minute. I just haven't picked it up. I didn't know it was connected. I'm excited.
Yeah,
that's a huge callback, too. That's legit.
Yeah.
Yeah. November 88 was a Death in the Family.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That was the one that the fans, there was a phone number you can call. Like, does Robin die? You got to call this phone number and you can vote for like $1 or whatever. And like the fans said, kill Robin. He's a little butthole. So they killed little Robin, dude. Because Jason Todd was kind of a punk Robin, though. Like,
he really was.
Yeah. He was kind of like, if you read some of the old issues, I've been reading some of them on the DC app. You know, there's a famous issue where he pushes a guy off a building, and Batman's like, did you push him? He's like, nah, man, he slipped. You know? And you're like,
okay. Dude, he's messed up. Yeah, yeah.
Robin had his some anniversary this year too, bro. Some fat issue. I didn't pick it up. How many years
was that? That was like, I think it was 80 years of Robin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like him and the Joker, man.
Yeah,
the Joker
and
70,
and Catwoman.
Right?
Everyone hit 80, dude, because everyone came out in the 40s, 1940. So everyone, like Flash, Green Lantern, everyone's hitting their, like,
their
80 right now. Yeah, yeah. So, like, Batman had him beat by a year, and then Superman the year before. So,
that's crazy.
Hitting all those anniversary issues. But, yeah, man, this book is...
So, what are we rating this book?
Yeah, I was going to say, this book, for me, hands down, gotta go, dude. Like,
gotta go.
It's got too much writing on it for it not to be.
Yeah, it's got to go. Not only execution, it's just, it seems like essential reading. Like, again, like Geoff Johns, the way he's able to distill like entire like histories of a character into a single issue.
Yeah.
It is incredibly impressive. It's no small feat. And I think even if you didn't start with the classic stories, you could start here and then expand from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. This book, it's got to go hype, got to go art, got to go story. And then, I just like looking through it because when you look through it again, you see like the stuff. Commissioner Gordon's pissed off at Batman because, you know, he's like, that's my daughter. She's Batgirl. Because Commissioner Gordon, you can't tell that's your daughter. You're stupid.
Supposedly he doesn't know.
Yeah, he's got to know because she has that stupid mask, dude. It's barely covering her face, dude. Like, come on. That's my daughter.
Totally, man.
I don't know.
It's good stuff. Do you guys want a quick lightning round, like rating the other comics you got this week before we go?
Yeah, I think we need a lightning round that Dead Earth.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Yep. plug.
Lightning
round. Anybody review that book?
Oh, did someone review that book?
I reviewed that thing. Boom. That was a funny one. Deceased was like, and you were telling me to review DC books, Justin, and I was like, oh, there's a number one. Can I start there? I didn't read Deceased, so then I'm reading Dead Planet, and I'm like, oh, frick, I missed out on, like, the miniseries of, like, 2019. But Dead Planet, thus far, it's been really good. Issue number 3 dropped this week. I gave it a let's go. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, man. Tom Taylor's bringing in so many different new plot points, and you got to jump on, man. It's a fun one. I'm really excited for how that issue ended. Am I allowed to say that or should I not?
Spoiler alert.
Yes, spoiler alert. Dead
earth. Spoiler, dude. Bringing back Mr. Miracle. Recruiting Mr. Miracle. That's going to be awesome, man.
Yeah.
A cynical, sad yeah. Mr. Miracle with long hair.
Yeah, he looks beat.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a great read. That's a great read.
Can I just say my favorite moment from that book, also spoiler?
Yeah.
Was just Swamp Thing, like, popping Max Lord's head off like a freaking like cork or something.
I was like, what? That's what's so great about this. Like, there's no like continuity in the sense.
There
like,
are no rules.
Yeah.
Like, he can do whatever he wants. And I think like Justin and I have talked about, it was the same with the first Deceased run.
Yeah.
Is the art is, I think, the thing that truly holds it back from being really excellent. It's fine. It's passable to me. I think Tom Taylor is like we talk about Donnie Cates in Marvel being able to write like pretty much any character.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about Tom Taylor in DC. Like he just gets the voice of so many characters. And so I think that part of it's excellent. I think the ideas are crazy and fun. I would also give it a let's go. Like it's really great. It's still something that is based around heart, is based around something meaningful, even though it seems like the most like just ridiculous concept and instance that these characters put in.
It's a fun ride though. So,
It
feels like, 2020, like things just keep going wrong.
Yeah. For reals. Dude.
Like, you think you get a win and then it's like, haha, you thought
it's like Plastic Man.
For real, man. Like, Plastic Man eats him, and then Shadow Pack gets to like a safe haven, and then freaking they find out that like Satan is gonna come kill everybody. I was like, dude, that you're gonna add that in there too? Like, it just feels like 2020, man.
Yeah.
And we're gonna, and the army of Amazos is what's gonna fix everything. I was like, that feels like America 2020, everybody.
That's not
we
gonna do, go well.
We just throw more firepower at it, it's gonna fix it.
Yeah.
More Amazos. I would say that's,
let's go. What about you, Justin? What would
let's
you
let's go? Yeah, so let's go.
Yeah. Strange Adventures 5, another lightning round. It's not as great. Here's the thing, like Justin and I were talking about this earlier today. You can't expect a series like this every issue to be the equal greatness. Like you gotta have like little like dips and you know what I mean, and peaks and valleys. And this one is a little bit of a dip from the last one, only because the last one was so ridiculously so good.
Dope. Yeah.
So good. Like, gosh, freaking Mr. Terrific.
Yeah. Yes.
And the fact that we didn't get Mr. Terrific this issue, maybe that's why. I don't know.
One panel. You have one random panel with him. Remember that?
I know. We just get more you get more Adam Strange and Alana.
Yep.
Which I think is good for the story. It moves the story forward, gives you context.
Yeah.
But also just did not strike me as much as the last issue. But still excellent art. So I would give that a let's go.
Yeah. It definitely dipped for me. I'm going to be honest. Like, the art's great. The story, I was like, come on. So this issue is just a go for me.
Woo! Sucker!
Sorry. I still love you, Tom King, but
I'm at a let's go because, I mean, like Matt said, issue 4 was so sick. Probably a standout so far, but I don't know. The storyline is still so good. Like, I'm locked in every issue. Mm. So... Yeah. For me, it just felt like, I'm not going to call everyone. I got to go. Like, it's, you know.
Yeah. I got to have a standard, dude. No, I do. I can't say like 3 Jokers is a got to go and say issue, 5 of this is a got to go. Like, I got to I have to really think like, what's my scale?
And for sure. Which is why we both said, let's go, dude. Yeah, why not to like blow it up, dude?
But I think there's some
interesting stuff though with Alana. That's what I would say is like his wife. This is some interesting stuff.
Oh, yeah. She's no good, dude. But watch. Just watch. So
wait, what?
Dude, it does seem like they're trying to paint it that way, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the shoe's like up to something.
Justin, yeah. You thought this thing dragged? You thought issue five dragged?
Yeah, dude. I was like, what the heck, dude? Yeah.
See, that's the problem, Mike. He awesome. Decides something and then he skips half of it and then gives it a lower rating.
No, I read the whole thing, dude. I read the whole book. I read it. I was waiting for something good, and then.
Yeah, nothing crazy happened in this. Like, not like
the last issue. Again, it wasn't
the same interactions.
So you gotta read it.
I think you see that. Like, I think this book has really like soared and thrived in the moments of its supporting cast getting mm-hmm. some more play, and you just didn't get that this issue. And so for me, I took that more as like, okay, like I get it. It's a little bit of a dip. You can't have everything be at the same high level of intensity.
Yeah.
But for this, I felt like it's like, oh crap. Like, I feel like, am I supposed to be like less impressed with Adam Strange? Like almost like that was the point.
Yeah.
To me, do you know what I mean? Of like, oh, but this guy is like kind of a wiener. Like
that's like, what hey, that's what I'm walking things. Away with.
So I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. They're stuck in a cage.
But I think that's rats. What it's supposed to be. Cause the last issue, where you're supposed to be walk away is like Mr. Terrific is like the badass of the DC yeah. universe.
Yeah. I think I wanted more of that or more.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I wanted more DC universe in it. So
yeah, anyway. Yeah, I like that. I think that's totally fair, dude.
I really like that flash panel. That was a standout for me.
Yeah,
that was little good. Flash panel. That was cool.
Just yeah. one little guy.
It was a little guy.
That's all good. Wolverine 5. That was fun.
Ooh.
Yeah, oh, dude, yeah. I haven't been keeping up on that at all.
Dude, the cover
that
was
that cover it. Looked incredible. Yeah, cover.
I was like, that is cool. So Wolverine is definitely I only checked it out because Chris reviewed it and I was like, all right, I'm gonna what's this guy talking about? And it was fun. It was a good issue. So I gotta catch up on the other two. But I gave it a let's go. Like Wolverine was a good book, dude. It was fun. It made me want to cool. like go back and read it issue 4 and 3 because I read 1 and 2. So I need to catch up. So it's making me want to catch up. So I like that.
Yeah.
But y'all didn't read that, so you can't rate it. So
I didn't. Sorry. I still have a couple more books that I need to read. I'm really excited that Bitterroot came out this week. That's issue number 10 and Firepower number 3. I'm very, very excited to read
How's
both
Firepower?
Of those.
Firepower
it's so been? Great, dude.
Oh,
it's
man.
So fun.
Dang, I got to check that.
So fun. I've really liked it a lot. I think it's fun to have like a kung fu vibe, but there's like something very fun and kind of modern on the
are you gonna check out Shang-Chi when that comes out for Marvel? It's coming out in like November or something.
Is that when it's coming out? Yeah, dude. Yeah, yeah. I'm down.
Yeah.
They did a one shot of Shang-Chi, I think last year, and I got that one.
Yeah.
I think it's fun. I want to see and I want to most importantly, I want to support like other genres when they come out in comic books. Like
yeah.
I'm down for the superhero, like straight up stuff. Like, of course I'm going to be there for that. But when you have like other genres that are represented, like, I'm like, yeah, I want to support that. That's why, I mean, I got the Iron Fist book with Ed Brisson
yeah.
a few years ago. That was really great. I think I loaned part of that to you, Mike, right?
Yeah. I was just looking at those. Tonight. I have a stack of your Iron Fist comics.
So, but it felt very much like, I'm like, oh, this is like an old kung fu movie. This is really cool because that
yeah.
makes it feel kind of different from other comic books. Any other books you got, Justin, this week that you haven't gotten to yet?
That's it, no.
Cool. That's you all. Reviewed That Texas Blood last week, right, Mike?
Yes, I'm really liking that series, man. I'm really liking it. It's a lot of fun.
That was issue number 2?
That was issue number 3.
Three, yeah.
Oh, wow, dude.
Yeah.
Man, it shows dude. How much I've been keeping up.
Yeah.
It's a fun experience, man. I recommend it. It's got me all hyped for some Image stories coming out later this fall. This was sort of my like intro to Image comics, and I've been very pleasantly surprised. So that's Texas awesome. Blood, it's a great series, worth jumping in.
Yeah, you know what you dig? Actually, I didn't talk about it, but so Ed Brubaker does this book, Criminal, and they did kind of a little one-off. I think it was like a collection. I think it was called Summer something, dude. Sorry, I don't have the title in front of me. That's good, man. Like, you know, like,
do you see that Donny Cates has another book coming out with what? Image this fall?
Well, what is that?
Oh, Crossover.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That thing looks
that's
crazy.
The one I'm waiting on that one.
I just saw the cover image. And I'm like, dude, that looks awesome.
Dude, yeah. It sounds pretty cool. That and The Department of Truth. I'm waiting on that one. That one we got to keep an eye on.
Which one's
okay. Image?
It's called Image. The Department of Truth.
All right.
Yeah. Looks pretty cool.
See, that's the thing now with Donny Cates. I want to check out anything he writes. Like, okay, whatever you put out, I'm gonna check it out, dude. So I'm gonna like, I'm gonna put it in my pull list because I'm just entertained now by the cat. So
yeah,
for sure.
For on a Marvel note, hopefully they get more writers than just Donny Cates. Cause frick, man, like
no,
they
but
got like, him and Al Ewing, that's it.
Nah, man, they got Darsky
right now.
Hey, you gotta be reading Daredevil.
Now. Oh, dude, Zdarsky.
Daredevil's good. Daredevil's
good. Yeah, and then also Rosenberg, dude, Matthew Rosenberg. Bruh,
tell me why. I know you guys. Neither of you checked out Empire, did you? Like at all?
No, I did after. I didn't. I did after you said you checked it out. You were like, "Oh, dude, it's booty," you know. So I checked it out, and I was like,
"It was, huh? It was." Booty.
I couldn't get into it, dude.
Yeah, I heard you guys saying that. And then what also does that to me, honestly, because I already feel just so overwhelmed by life in general right now. Yeah. Like when you drop something and it's like 7 tie-ins in 1 week, I'm like, yeah, I can't. Like I was like, nope, that's just going to be a pass automatically.
Yeah.
If I can't just do one book, like, I'm like, nope. I just don't have that in me right now.
Here's my problem. Empire is a Fantastic Four cat, like, Avengers like type of crossover, right?
Yeah,
but there's also a crossover in the Avengers book, but there's also a book called Avengers Empire. It's like, come on, dude.
Come on, bro.
That's three of them. That's three. Like, that's where Marvel wears you out, man.
Yeah, like, dude,
Marvel is wearing me out. Everything's Empire. Like, if I was going into the store, I wouldn't even know which one to buy. I'm like, wait,
dude, that happened to me. That happened to me at the beginning of this whole thing. I grabbed a book, I thought it was Empire number one.
Yeah.
And it was just a Fantastic Four tie-in.
Yeah.
Like, dude, what the heck is going on, dude? Like, I'm so confused.
It's
so
dude.
Bad.
They're all Batman Empire. Like, wait, now Batman's in this thing?
Yo, Matt, I don't know if you saw my review for this week, but I put in my review for Deceased. Like, I kind of came out of nowhere. I was finishing it up and I was writing about how Swamp Thing, you know, he saved the remnant of Shadow Pact with his, like, you know, plant little bosom that he made that protected them from Plastic Man. And then it reminded me that Empire number one had something weird to do with like plant technology as well. Yeah. Like it was a weird, it literally was so confusing. I didn't understand it, but I remembered that. And I was like, dude, and I got all mad. I was like, you know what, dude, I don't understand Marvel. Like, literally Venom is the only thing I know. Venom and Thor right now, those are the only two things I'm interested in Marvel right now.
Yeah,
obviously Daredevil dropped it. Yeah, Daredevil I need to get more time to, and I would recognize that. But dude, I was like, what the, like, why, what is all this, like, come on, man. Like, DC's running it right now. Like, Marvel's just like putting out these weird, like, overwhelming tie-ins. Like you were saying, nobody's from quality control is checking this stuff, dude. It's just weird stories.
Yeah, it just seems like something I'm like, I'm
Mike's like, Marvel, take that. Note.
Yeah, that's what I put at the end of the review. I was so annoyed, dude.
That was funny.
Empire was the thing too. Like Empire was 2020 and it was just like just booty, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Like they started something with like Marvel 1000. They started reading some stories
incoming.
And I'm like, what happened there? Like, it just nothing really like landed. That's what I'm telling you, dude. Like, like the whole Ultimate Carnage thing, dude. Absolute Carnage.
Absolute Carnage.
Like that thing was, that was it right there.
Dude, you still can't get that name.
I still can't get it right, man. Like that
shows
was
me how much you care about it.
I don't care, dude. I don't give a care, dude. So yeah, I just feel like Cates is just gonna own it with, what is it, like King of Black?
Yep.
And then
King in Black,
Yeah, King in Black, and then whatever.
Thor's that October?
Doing. Yeah.
I hope so. I thought it was in December. Is it October?
I think it's October.
Oh, dude, I'm so happy. That's good news for 2020, man.
Yeah.
My goodness.
We'll end strong.
We'll end 2020 strong.
I want more of it. I want more Thor.
Yep.
All of it.
Yep.
Cool. All right, man. We're gonna wrap this show up then, dude. That was good. That was a good show.
It was a good show.
Good stuff. Good show, everybody. Hey, everybody, pat yourself on the back.
Good job.
Mike, how can people hit you up?
Hey, just pat yourself on the butt. Good show.
There you go,
man.
No HR here.
No HR. Catch me on Instagram or Twitter at Mike Terrell, M-I-K-E. Wait, did I misspell my M-I-K-E?
No, no, you're good.
T-E-R-U-E-L. Sorry, I thought I misspelled my name, man.
We'll put it in the show notes so they can just click it.
Cool.
Oh, man.
Matt. Matt's eating
I'm from Canada, man. I'm from Canada.
You can find me. You can find me at Matt Ritchie on Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter at J_Rock. You can find the show at Let's Go Comic Show, Instagram, and Twitter. You can go to our website at www.letsgopodcast.com where you can listen to the show and the Let's Go podcast and check out just reviews, TV stuff. Man, we have two reviews for Tenet on there. You're going to go backwards and forwards. So, like, we got John and Nick Zednik writing reviews. So, you can get two different thoughts on that. But we got TV. We're going to be reviewing The Boys soon. We got Let's Go Gamers.
Starting up this weekend.
Yeah, so we got a lot of stuff coming, man. And so check out the website. Every day there's some new articles or something being posted, plus the shows and all that. But hey, buy some merch. Whoop, whoop, whoop. That's all I'm saying. Buy some merch. Pay for the show because the show bills are coming in, you know. Show bills. Shows ain't free. They're free for you. But if you want to throw, you know, buy some shirts, we can make that happen. So, you know. All right.
Boom.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, man. So that being said... My name's Justin.
I'm Matt.
I'm Mike.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.